Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is 5:02 p.m. and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee has been called to order. Need a motion for acceptance of the minutes on December 2nd.
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Moving on to PCR 192-19, found on page 1. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening. Public Works is requesting to award the bid for fire sprinkler system inspection and repair in the amount of $15,000 to Pierce Fire Protection for a period of 1 year, beginning February 23rd, 2020, expiring February 22nd, 2021.
Christy, in reviewing this, I see only one item that kind of jumps out, and that's on the Pilgrim Senior Center. I'm sorry, the five-year internal inspections, and as you indicate in your report, that's only, and under this contract, it'll only be on the Pilgrim Senior Center.
Correct.
And I certainly agree with your department's decision to go along with Pierce, because that is negligible in comparison to the other savings that you have in these other items. It's definitely works out into the taxpayer's favor. So I'm okay with it. Any questions with members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do I have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Item 2020-203.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me, Director. Fire sprinkler system inspections. Go ahead, sorry. I heard some hollering. I figured it was like early.
James Scott, Parks and Recreation. We've reviewed the two bids received and recommend awarding the bid to Pierce Fire Protection for fire sprinkler system inspections and or repairs. The contract terms will run from February 23rd, 2020 until February 22nd, 2021.
Thank you. Same comments or questions to you. Do you have anything that is due for the five-year internal inspection?
We do not. I believe that reading through the packet, it seems to only apply to the Pilgrim Senior Center.
Okay. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do I have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item number 3, 2020-224, various replacement auto parts, found on page 13.
Public Works is requesting to award this bid to all vendors that submitted a bid in the amount of $573,000 for a one-year period, beginning February 18th, 2020, expiring February 17th, 2021. This bid is, this cap is actually the same cap that we requested at the last meeting for the other parts. These three bids will be tracked all together under one lump sum of $573,000.
Christy, on the, and I get why you need to have all these various vendors. You know what the committee's position has been on this for the last 3 years, but I understand it. With Lawson Products, they will only be getting, if they're getting any business, will be on those, I think it's six items that they bid, correct?
Yeah, some of the vendors only provide things like hardware, and the smaller mm-hmm. items. Other vendors provide the larger items. So it is purchases are made by what they bid on.
And I do need to recognize that your bidders, you got them to do what we've been asking to do for a long time, and that's provide the list price and the discounts and the net price. And it's I'm happy to see that, and I'm happy to see that you have a lot of vendors who are bidding on this. I remember when we started talking about this a few years ago, it was like, oh my God, it's impossible, it's too much work, we're not doing it, you're not going to get any bids, nobody's going to bid. Well, we see that the due diligence on the part of this committee, as well as the department heads, have certainly shown it to be something different, and the bids are much more competitive and more people bidding. The only thing I would like to recommend is a company like Palmer Spring. Palmer Spring, essentially, they only do springs, right? Perhaps just kind of tailor the pots list to what they would be bidding on.
Palmer Spring does provide some of the brake parts that we need, which is why they bid on this as an aftermarket. There's a separate bid for spring repair, but on okay. this particular, it's not anything spring related.
They bid on two items.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, good job with that. And it was good to see that. Any questions from members? Yeah, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. And just to piggyback on what the chairman said, I agree, you know, there are multiple vendors on this, but we need the parts. We want to keep the things. But going out and getting them to submit all this information, it gives us a benchmark on costs going forward, so we see what we're doing. It allows the department to go through and pick the best price for the taxpayers. So I believe that what we've been doing is coming in results, bringing in results, and I want to thank the department for working on this, and I think this is a good progress. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments from members of the committee? Any comments from members of the council? Any comments, questions from members of the public? Any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Also, I failed to point out earlier, I apologize, we have the numbers for each of the bids requests are in here, and there's adequate monies available in those accounts. If anybody would like to see it, it's right here. Next item, 2020-229, found on page 64. Good evening, Major.
Good evening. In November, the
Major, just identify yourself for the
sure.
record, please.
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the Warwick Police Department.
Thank you.
In November, the police department went out to bid for ammunition and received three qualified bids. The police department is recommending that this award be awarded to AAA Police Supply, even though they are not the lowest bidder. Ammunition purchased under this bid will be used for the department's annual qualification, night shoot in-service training, remedial training as necessary, and other trainings that often become available on short notice. Additionally, ammo is purchased for SWAT team training, they train twice a month, and for recruits who attend the Rhode Island Municipal Police Academy. I do not take lightly that this recommendation will cost more money. AAA Supply has been the lowest bidder, or the only bidder, for each of the last 5 years. They are located in Dedham, Mass, and our experience during that time period has been when we place an order, we receive a delivery within a week, usually within 2 or 3 days. Conversely, Eagle Point is in New Jersey, and although bidding lower, has given us a delivery window of 1 to 4 months. 4 months is a very concerning time frame for us. When it comes to recruitment and or last minute trainings, things that are difficult for us to forecast, 4 months could be problematic. In addition to that, we have finite proper storage for ammo, so it's not like we can have a huge order the first of the year and only do one order per year. We just have no place to put that much ammo. If the need arises for additional ammo on a short timetable, I believe the 4 month delivery window could be problematic, and as such, we have recommended AAA Supply.
Thank you, Major. Major, you and I had a conversation on this earlier today, and we kind of explored this in depth. So, and thank you for giving me the inventory on the ammo that I had requested. that was most helpful. So what we have here is a series of items that you use on a sometimes little basis, sometimes regular basis. Your most popular is the 9mm rounds. That's for your training.
That's correct.
The least used is the 223. That's for the rifles, for the vehicles. That's the least used.
That's correct.
That is also the only item that is a positive swing on the price and the cost of this ammunition, the amount of $536. When I tabulate the items based upon your projected needs for this year, I come up with a delta of somewhere between $3,000 and $3,200 more. It could even be a tad more than that if we take into consideration you use very few of the 223s. So we're looking at least a $3,200 increased cost to going with AAA police supply versus Eagle Point. The majority of the rounds that you're looking for, based on our conversation, is for training.
Correct.
And new recruits. We don't anticipate having any new recruits until April at the earliest, perhaps July or August, depending upon where things go.
The academy starts in July, but we're in the middle of a recruitment drive right now, so we won't have a list until April.
Okay. So you don't need ammo for that till April?
Correct. Till July.
July.
Yeah.
In the conversation that we had, I expressed my feelings with you is from inventory control. You obviously have a good inventory control because your armorer, whoever's in charge of the inventory, produced it in a relatively short period of time, so you have a good control on it, you have a good handle for it. You personally know what your more popular rounds are and what you use on a more steady basis. My feeling with this is for $3,200 that I would expect the armorer to be able to do a very efficient job in ordering this ammunition. In this case, you're not going to, and by the way, on the training ammunition, you're still sitting on 12,000 rounds of ammunition as we're here today, and a relatively good supply on the others.
Some of that is actually allocated for the January Academy. We have three recruits scheduled to go in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So that's, but.
But as long as the armorer is keeping track of this inventory, and you know it, from what you've just said, it's at least 4 or 5, maybe even 6 months down the road before you're going to have this influx of ammo requirements, I don't see where the lead time of 1 to 4 months should pose any problem for the department, have any impact on training. It will if all of a sudden somebody says, oh my God, I forgot to order the ammo. And we've got a leave time. Well, then, you know, that's something that would need to be addressed by the person who is responsible for ordering the ammo. And that's my feelings with it. I don't see a justification for burdening the taxpayers with an additional $3,000 or $3,200 of expense when they're certainly heavily burdened enough with so many other things, particularly where this is something that I'm very confident that the department is going to be able to control. And you know, you certainly demonstrated that as your armorer did with getting this list that quickly. So I'm very confident that the department has very good control on it. I'm very confident that the department is going to be able to anticipate in the proper lead time to get the ammo that you need. So for me, I'm not going to be able to support awarding the AAA when there's such a difference in costs. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Major, in response to the chairman, do you feel that there's any urgency or need where you would have to, I understand you explained your reasoning very well, but if the chairman was to go ahead and we were to join and understanding the cost, and he makes a very valid point. Do you have any counterpoint of why you feel that this would be the...
Again, the
that
issue
maybe
is,
we're not aware of as non-law enforcement.
The
Thank
issue,
you.
Again, is anything that we're not able to forecast. So anything that we can plan for, obviously we can plan for. It's the trainings that come up and or if a bunch of people retire and suddenly we're putting twice the amount of people in the academy that we have to plan for. Each recruit has to go to the academy with upwards of 3,000 rounds. So it's the unknown factors. So I don't know if we're going to have a problem until we actually have a problem, if we place an order. If it can deliver within 60 days, I don't think we have a problem. But if it takes them 4 months, and for example, this recruitment drive, right now we probably have five slated to go to the July Academy, but our recruitment drive isn't done till April, and a lot can change between now and then. We might end up sending 10 people. We might end, you know, so that doubles the amount of ammo. We just went from 15,000 rounds to 30,000 rounds. So that's what I'm talking about, the unknown factor. Now, as soon as we know, we can place an order. If they can deliver on the shorter end, we'll be fine. But if they take 4 months on every single order, you know, it could be problematic.
Is one of these your current supplier now?
Yes.
And may I ask which one?
AAA.
Okay. And for the same reasons, did Eagle Point compete last time?
Yes. No, sorry.
Okay.
This is the first time Eagle Point has participated in the last 5 years.
So you're... All right, I'm all set. Thank you, Major. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman Howell. Also, I would like to just remind you all of what the Major said earlier, that this is the first time in some time that we've had additional vendors bidding on this ammunition. And over the last 3 years, this committee has been very diligent on requiring, or I should say requesting, that the department heads change the culture of how they go out for bid, and change the demographics of how they award bids from one vendor to seven or eight vendors. And this is a perfect case in point. We have two additional vendors who have not bid on this, at least in some time. And let's face it, if you are the only vendor of something, who's holding your feet to the fire to come up with a better price? You're the only vendor. You know that. You know there's no one else been bidding. I know that from bidding myself. And now we have an opportunity to save the taxpayers upwards of $3,200, perhaps more. The academy isn't something that happens overnight. It takes time to put together this academy. It's not something that, you know, happens today or tomorrow. We got an academy. I need another 15,000 rounds. Listen, this is about inventory control. It's about operating from a business perspective that you know what you got now, you know what you're going to have later, you know what you're going to need. Inventory control, that's it. As long as we maintain inventory control, and this is quite evident that the police department has been doing a very good job with that, then this shouldn't be a problem. Worst case scenario, we miraculously can put together a new recruit drive, and in 3 days or 3 weeks or whatever you need 1,000 rounds, it can be done with a 3-3. So I don't see this creating any problems. What I do see it doing is making something that's working very good now work even a little more efficiently. Any other comments? Councilman McAllister.
Major, does Eagle Point, do they have a history of supplying for a city the size of Warwick? Is that why they may?
I don't believe up in this area. They're very big in New York and New Jersey.
Okay, so they do work with municipalities.
They are a large supplier for
that. Okay, so that's not the reason for they say up to 4 months?
AAA has a warehouse where they keep our ammo in inventory. That's how we're able to get it so quickly. Eagle Point suggested they were going to ship directly from the manufacturer, and that's the times they gave us based on the manufacturer's recommended ship time. So they seem like they're a large supplier too, but you know they utilize the manufacturer more often.
Okay, thank you.
So I don't know if everyone received this or not, but I have an email that was forwarded to me from Eagle Point, and this person stipulates, as we are the current New Jersey state contractor for Federal, Remington, Polyfang, PMC Ammunition, Federal, Remington being huge, huge manufacturer of ammo, New York state contractor for Federal, Remington Ammunition, Connecticut state contractor, New Hampshire state contractor, et cetera, they certainly indicate they have the ability to handle it. As a matter of fact, they state that it equates to approximately 30 million rounds of ammunition. It's a few rounds. Yeah. And also, Major, I would point out, I'm certainly the first one to complain about things, but I'm certainly the first one to give kudos when they're due. The accolades with the conversation that this individual had with you it was exemplary. Your professionalism, your courtesy, et cetera, et cetera. So, thank you for that as well. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do you have any questions or comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion. I'm sorry, the motion is to award this bid. We're going to need a PCR on this. PCR 194-19. The motion is to award the bid to Eagle Point Gun.
I'll second.
We have a second.
Second.
We have 2 seconds. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Major, and thank you for taking the call today and for your due diligence on this as well. As amended, PCR 194-19.
Favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. As amended, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, next item, need acceptance of the minutes from December 2nd.
Favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 192-19, resolution relatives to bids. First item, PCO 19-19, ordinance of the City Council authorizing the purchase of street lights, the conversion of fixtures to light emitting diodes, LED technology, and the financing thereof through an appropriation obligation and determining other matters in connection therewith. For second passage, Councilwoman Travis. We have a recommendation for favorable action. Do we have a second? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. Before I continue on, any comments from members of the committee? Any comments from members of the council? Any comments from members of the public? Do we have any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I'm in favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Would someone just close that door to the outside foyer, please? Thank you. Moving on to item two, PCO 20-19, an ordinance of the City Council authorizing the design, construction, repair, rehabilitation, and improvement of streets and sidewalks in the city, including but not limited to paving, drainage, traffic control, devices, safety improvement, and landscaping, and the financing thereof through an appropriation obligation and determining other matters in connection therewith. For action, Councilwoman Travis. Need a motion?
I move favorable action on PCO 20-19 for second passage.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. Any other questions from members of the committee? Comments? Any comments or questions from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Any comments or questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item, PCO 17-19, an ordinance relative to senior and veteran exemptions. Councilman Howe, any preference on, it's not drafted.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend we hold to the first meeting of February.
Hold to February 3rd.
Second, holding February 3rd.
We have a motion to hold to February 3rd. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
PCR 186-19, resolution relative to bond approval for the 2020-2021 school department projects, release of funds. Council President Marola.
That has to do with the school bonds?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if the school department was here to speak on that.
Sorry?
I didn't know if the school department was here to speak on that.
Is anyone here from the school department? Is anyone here from the school department to speak on PCR 186-19?
If you could maybe bring it to the floor without a recommendation or hold it till the end of the meeting, I'll make a phone call.
At the recommendation of Council President, would you prefer to move it to the floor for a discussion, or would you prefer to we only got one other thing left on the calendar. You want me to move it to the floor? Okay, at the request of the sponsor, move to the floor favorable for discussion.
Second that.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Correct. Favorable with no recommendation. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, next item, PCR 187-19, resolution relative to the ratification of collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Firefighters Local 2748, IAFF, AFL-CO, for a period of July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good evening, Director.
Honorable members of the Finance Committee, my name is William D. Pasquale. I'm the Chief of Staff. I'm here tonight to ask for your support in ratifying the tentative agreement by and between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Firefighters Local 2748 AFL-CIO for the period of July 1, 2019 through June 30, 2022. A copy of the said contract and fiscal note was included in your binder, ready for pickup on December 6, 2019. In addition to the statutory hard copy, a PDF copy of the TA was sent via email to council members on December 4th, 2019. The entire redline contract was sent via Google download drive to all council members on November 26, 2019, some 20 days before this hearing. The information sent was robust and far exceeds any statutory requirements for review. As you may recall, when Mayor Solomon assumed office, there were many outstanding legacy issues left over from the previous administration. Public questions swirled regarding past TAs and how their components made their way into the contract language. A less than ideal process of merging a ratified TA with a contract document led to the creation of legal instruments of understanding that became known in the public as side agreements. After a systematic assessment, Mayor Solomon, without fanfare, shouldered swift action to correct immediate issues and provided long-term solutions because he believes the public deserves transparency as a principle of its governmental function, not as a means for self-promotion. Mayor Solomon recognizes the process itself was problematic and acted decisively to correct legacy problems while implementing a new procedure for review and documentation, thereby mitigating the need for side agreements while improving transparency for the public. The administration provided the actual language to be included in the collective bargaining contract. Every word, every line, every page, and every appendix. Laid out very simply, changes would appear as read, would be underlined as an addition, would be stricken out for deletion. Sounds simple, right? Well, not exactly, because up to this point, the City Council and the public only received an abbreviated TA, which was more often summaries of the proposed changes, which then needed to be converted into actual language within the collective bargaining contract. Review of the past records and emails indicate former process produced numerous drafts with multiple authors, all floating around with different dates. This dissonance innately increased the likelihood of error and misinterpretation. Mayor Solomon's plan was to eliminate this shabby process and replace it with a transparent process that this public deserves. Up to this point, the city had no single depository for all signed collective bargaining agreements. We all know by now how difficult it is to locate an original signed collective bargaining agreement. Many times, they were simply kept in the legal offices of varying solicitors at the time. Mayor Solomon's sensibility uses the city clerk's office as the established city archive to retain the original signed collective bargaining agreements, a process that includes an authorization page describing the document contents along with signatures, seal, and initialing every single page. I opine on this subject because it's so very important to be understood where we came from and that several canons of this TA right the ship on these tangled matters. I believe everyone can agree that the mayor's actions and the new policy of the aforementioned matters are professional improvements over past practice. The instant TA corrects these outstanding issues, cleans up contract language, and sets a new course within the ratification and documentation procedure itself. Mayor Solomon, along with the firefighters, has bargained in good faith, drafting what we feel is a legal, fair, and equitable tentative agreement, one that addresses legacy issues as well as the short and long-term interests of this great city. While negotiations at time were demanding, Mayor Solomon's resolve and the firefighters' professionalism was truly something to behold. Mayor Solomon held steadfast on addressing OPEB within a cost-neutral contract for the taxpayer while addressing outstanding issues inherited by his administration. The work firefighters recognized without hype or hysteria the need for fair and equitable contract, one that included other public employee benefits. We trust our firefighters into our homes and to transport our loved ones in their time of need and in the most stressful of situations. The qualities that embolden this trust are some of the same qualities exemplified by the firefighters at the bargaining table. We're in constructive dialogue, overcame strong opinion and emotion. The result is a wage-neutral contract, alongside a first-of-its-kind employee-funded OPEB trust in the city of Warwick. The cost-neutral agreement addresses the immediate impact to the city's operating budget, while the first in Warwick employee-funded OPEB trust will reduce the city costs for health coverage for new hirees by nearly one-third. This provision also creates a template to forge a new way forward in helping to manage retirement benefit costs in the future. Don't we all remember that not such a long time ago, our lexicon included the terms sick time, side agreement, tier two, litigious items inherited from a previous time. As stated earlier, Mayor Solomon, when assuming office, acted quickly to cease implementation of the side agreement, and within the subsequent arbitrations and contract negotiations, the instant TA, the TA in front of you right now, would resolve both these matters. The proposed contract returns to a yearly payout schedule, eliminates ambiguity in the language and payout, while removing 4 sick days expected to save the city over $170,000 a year. This TAA also resolves the Long Ballyhooed interest arbitration case that was a holdover from the previous administration. While this is often an area of rabid discussion, the facts clearly demonstrate on August 21st, 2019, in the matter of the City of Warwick versus Local 27448 IAFF American Arbitration Association number 01-17-0002-3208, entitled Change in Pension Benefits, the arbitration panel found that the firefighter's grievance was arbitrable, and the decision was that the city violated Article 14 of the collective bargaining agreement when it implemented terms of the city's pension ordinance from post-July 1, 2012, hirees to the Warwick Fire Department. Further, the arbitration decision stated that the city shall forthwith cease and desist from implementing or enforcing any portion of the Tier 2 plan under the amended ordinance enacted on May 10, 2011. Like it or not, fair or unfair, the city flat out lost this arbitration. This is an important fact because it's the arbitration case that places the distinction of what tier the subject class of firefighters are in, not Mayor Solomon or his administration. So any declaration that the TA would roll back the subject class to Tier 1 would be inaccurate, as this occurred when the arbitrator's decision came down in August. What does this TA do? It legally establishes through collective bargaining the long overdue Tier 2 pension savings for the taxpayers. It stops costly litigation and ends uncertainty. What is certain is that any discussion that a motion to vacate the binding arbitration award would be a quote-unquote slam dunk is not being intellectually honest. An award to vacate would at best be a fluke, with the probable outcome being years of costly, needless litigation, offering the same outcome which will only prolong the pension reform savings that the taxpayers deserve today. Can't we all stipulate with confidence that implementing Tier 2 pension reforms and ending the sick-time payout issues are good things for the taxpayer? If so, that's exactly what this TA delivers. Alongside this TA's neutral wage increases, Tier 2 pension reform, employee-funded OPEB trust, the proposed agreement contains first meaningful management rights clause, which is the first to express management rights provision in the city's collective bargaining history with the IAFF. First in history. The afforded management rights will dovetail effectively with implementation of a 24-hour shift schedule, which could help decrease overtime costs in the future. The proposed TA also introduces a new lower pay scale for new hirees while eliminating one holiday and two personal days, saving the city $280,000 a year. To conclude, this TA was a result of mutual interests by and between management in the IAFF, Warwick firefighters. They were respectful and discussed in good faith at the bargaining table. It is a worthy contract, one that cleans up legacy issues, minimizes downside risk, institutes pension reform, as well as addresses OPEB, saving taxpayers' dollars while being fair to those that take care of all of us. Mayor Solomon, without seeking the media spotlight, remained resolute respecting the legally mandated bargaining process, while the E-Board and rank and file fought hard for their body, never losing sight of the community that they serve. Our firefighters and their companions in blue are primary points of contact for the interaction of city and its residents. Every minute of every hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they touch more individuals on a daily basis than anyone else in this room. Their tireless interaction with our loved ones, whether it be family, parents, children, or the elderly, demonstrate a steady beacon of strength, often under the most exacting of conditions. It's these attributes that make me believe our firefighters appreciate and care deeply about the issues facing our community, and they are willing to be part of the solution. In the end, Mayor Stileman's steady, unwavering diligence for the taxpayer was met with an IAFF resilient, balanced approach to community, creating professional tenets of change that are well represented within this contract. And as such, we ask for your support in the ratification of this TA. Before I bring up the finance director, Brian Sylvia, to speak to the fiscal note that was provided, I would also like to take the opportunity to introduce our team. On my left, I have Vin Ragosta, who is our labor attorney, city solicitor Tim Bliss, and Mike D'Amico, Chief McMichael, and Brian Silva. If he's up, maybe you can come forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. As mentioned previously, the items within the tentative agreement that have a fiscal impact on the city on a going forward basis are as follows: a reduction of 2 personal days, a reduction of 1 holiday, reduction of 4 sick days, an increase of 2 years before new hires reach grade 1, an increase of 2 additional years before new hires reach grade 2 and grade 3 as well, an establishment of an OPEB trust with 2% of employee pensionable earnings to be contributed for new hires, establishment of a tier 2 benefits for the pension system for new hires, a reduction of the unfunded liability for the pension fund, as well as a reduction of the pension ARC, and finally salary increases of 0% in year 1, 2% in year 2, and 2% in year 3. Cumulative, these proposed changes have an effect of a savings of $613,473 in year 1, fiscal year 2020 that we're in right now, a savings of $189,647 in year 2, fiscal year 21, and a cost of $407,264 in fiscal year 2022, the third year of the contract, totaling net savings over the term of the contract of $395,856.
Brian, could you direct us where in the document it shows the backup math for the savings for 2020, 2021, et cetera?
The third page of the document.
And could you just review that?
Certainly. So as noted, the first item is the reduction of 2 personal days, which for year 1 is projected to have a savings of $133,074. In year 2, a savings of $135,735. In year 3, projected savings of $138,450. The reduction of 1 holiday has projected savings in year 1 of $66,537. In year 2, projected savings of $49,237. And year 3 of $31,592. The unused sick, which is a combination of that is both the reduction of the unused sick is projected at $170,300 for the reduction of the 4 sick days. In year 2, it is projected at $270,097, and in year 3, a projected savings of $275,499. With regards to the reduction in pension ARC, this is associated with the reduction in 1 holiday. There's projected savings in year 1 of $111,117. In year 2, there was a projected savings of $108,895, and in year 3, projected savings of $106,717. The final item is a combination of the impact of overtime and the projected savings on overtime with regards to some of these savings, as well as the impact for FICA and pension. And that is resulting in a projected savings in year one of $132,445, projected costs in year two of $43,970, and projected costs in year three of $202,836.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just a question to Brian. Brian, in the contract it says that the salaries will be set between 1.5 and 3%, according to the arbitration. So that's what the salaries are going to be. We need a lifeline. Call a friend. So this is my question, Brian. What is it? What are the salaries? They're going to be set between 1.5 and 3, correct?
The salary.
Michael D'Amico, financial consultant to the city. I helped the team negotiate
this
contract.
D'Amico, could you raise your right hand, since you're not a city employee, and just have the clerk swear you in?
Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So, first, if you could point me to the page of the contract that you're looking at, I will answer your question.
Let's see. Paragraph 49. Number one, paragraph number one, page one, I believe.
Oh, you're looking at the TA.
Mr. D'Amico, are you familiar with this contract?
I am familiar.
Are you familiar with the concept that it hasn't, that the salary hasn't been set?
So I will explain.
Well, so you don't. So do you know what I'm? When I asked that question, besides making me jump around to what page number it was on, did you understand my question? Or you didn't?
I wanted to be sure that I understand your question.
Okay.
It's always helpful to read the contract language you're referring to specifically. Yes. So this contract starts with fiscal year 2020, July 1, 2019. There is still a year in arbitration. Fiscal year 19 is still in arbitration. That year has not been resolved, and the parties have agreed to a wage proposal, the city's wage proposal that was made quite some time ago, well in excess of a year or two ago, and is static in arbitration, is 1.5%. The firefighters' proposal was in excess of 3%, and they have since lowered it to that amount. So today, we are still waiting for the arbitrator's ruling on that fiscal year, and there will be a 1.5 to 3% increase, and that will be the starting point for this contract. However, having said that, the savings calculations are still correct, because as you can see, I'll use personal days as an example. The personal days save $133,000 the first year. The savings get slightly larger the second year, because the salaries are slightly higher. And so when you take something away at a higher salary, the amount you save is higher. So the personal day savings get larger, meaning the savings and the cost of each of these lines will be, in the end, 1.5 to 3% higher than is shown here. And therefore, the actual savings, instead of being $395,000, will be on the order of, conservatively, $398,000 to $405,000. However, in the interest of being conservative and not over-projecting the savings, we did not include the extra 1.5% to 3% that we expect to save. That's the first point. The second point is, when you ask, how is that the starting point for this contract, I would note that the salaries required, the financial need for that, the money required for that 1.5% to 3% increase has already been factored into the city budget in fiscal 20. It is already budgeted and therefore is not an impact of this contract.
So basically what you're saying is the salary increase is going to be between someplace between 1.5% and 3%, but you don't know.
For
correct?
Fiscal year 19, that is correct.
And so therefore the projections, you don't know how to calculate either, because it could be 1.5 to 3. So you can't give us a definitive answer to that question tonight either, can you?
That is not correct.
So you can give, just so you're aware, you're under oath, you're saying you can give a definitive answer as to what it's going to cost the city of Warwick when you don't know whether it's between 1.5 and 3%. Is that your testimony?
I gave you a definitive answer. You will save a minimum of $395,000. A minimum of. These projections are just that. They're projections. To assume that any number on this page is to the dollar, I don't think anyone would assume that, because we know somebody could retire tomorrow and we have one fewer firefighter, and now these projections are incorrect. These are projections, and you will save a minimum of $395,000. I would never swear under oath that you will save exactly $395,856 on a three-year projection. That's impossible to determine, because you don't know who may retire between now and the end of the contract. Other things will happen to change these numbers, but this is at a minimum $395,000.
And you're asking Brian, our finance director, to make assumptions as to costs, correct? As to how much the salary is going to be, correct? In the third year.
Well,
you just said.
We calculated the salary in the third year, yes.
And you're guesstimating because it's someplace between 1.5 to 3. That's not a fair answer?
That is not a fair answer.
Okay.
No.
Then we'll agree to disagree.
We'll agree to disagree.
Okay. And then based on those assumptions, you're asking what the impact could be to vacation time or sick time, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why not just give us a number, like all the other contracts that we've had?
I believe we did give
you a number. Why are we in a rush? It's 1.5 to 3. Why? Every contract says what it is.
If you choose to wait, you will forego these savings. You will notice the largest savings are in the first year. Every day the clock ticks, the city loses money, not the firefighters union. That's the first thing. The second point, you said, why are we in a rush? The firefighter contract has expired 1.5 years ago. I hardly think that signing a new contract 1.5 years after the expiration of the old one is a rush. I would not classify it as a rush. I would say that if I were in the city's shoes, I would be anxious to start to achieve these savings as soon as possible, because the first year is the most beneficial for the city and the taxpayer. And if, as every day goes by without this being signed, these savings are lost and you cannot get them back in the first year. So there is an urgency. If I'm sitting on the council, if I'm a taxpayer, there is an urgency to start to see these savings immediately and not wait.
I've been through this before, Mr. D'Amico, where we've rushed through things, and when you draft contracts, you want to be able to read it and figure out things. This is one issue out of many that I'm sure we'll talk about tonight that is ambiguous, to me at least, as to what it's going to be set at and what the financial impact is. And that carries over to sick time and vacation time, too. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. D'Amico, so to stay on that, do you have anything else to add? I'm going to just hold my comments till after. Do you have anything else to add with regard to the fiscal notes or the impacts?
I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I think Brian explained the overarching fiscal points quite eloquently in his fiscal note, so I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Brian, is there more? Did you want to go through any of the other fiscal notes? There's two other fiscal notes here as well.
I just should note that actuarial statements were provided with the impact for pension and OPEB. It's also included in your package.
Okay. So, Mr. D'Amico, I'm sorry, if you could come back for 1 minute. So, with regard to the 2019-2020, whether the salary is going to be impacted at 1.5 or 3, if you don't know what that number is, how can you project what the cost is of the personal days, sick days, holidays, unused sick time, the impact that it has on the pensions, and for that matter, on overtime.
So,
because just bear with me for a minute. So, let's assume that the arbitration stays where it is at the moment. So, how do you? What's going to happen to the overtime that was put in during that time period where, you know, this wasn't settled? Isn't the overtime also going to be impacted somewhere between 1.5% and 3%?
Yes, it would be, yes.
And wouldn't the fringe benefits be somehow impacted between the 1.5% and 3%?
Your pension, not your health care, but your pension would be, yes.
But when I say fringe benefits, let me back up. So the FICA tax is going to be impacted.
Yes.
FUTA is going to be impacted.
Yes.
Any other items, workers' comp, whatever.
Yes.
That's all going to be impacted.
Yes.
And what is the salary amount that we're talking about that we're not sure if it's going to be impacted 1.5% or 3% or somewhere in between? What's that total amount?
A 1% increase per
the
calculation.
What I'm asking is, what is the total salary for that time frame? What's the total salary?
The total salary in the fire department on an annual basis is approximately, and you have it here in the chart, so you can refer to the chart. You can see the annual base salary at the top of the chart. In fiscal 19, the actual number was $14.3 million. The budget for fiscal 20 was approximately $15 million. It's here on the chart.
Okay, so...
That's 1 year's salary.
Okay, so that 1 year salary that we're talking about is $14.3 million.
Approximately, yes.
Approximately that. And the swing on that could be 1.5% to 3%, depending upon what the award is?
Yes.
And in addition to that is all the other unknowns, right? So we have the unknown of the 1.5% to 3% that impacts $14.3 million.
Yes.
Which, you know, in itself is a pretty good number. And then we have the unknown on all of the other items, sick days, holiday pay, unused sick pay, payout, the impact on overtime. Could be a relatively large number, being that we're talking about a large overtime number. So this number that is unknown is a fairly substantial number.
But again, it won't have an impact. It will be, as you stated, 1.5% to 3% of that figure, that 14.3 million figure. However, it will not have an impact on the budget, as that money has already been budgeted and allocated by this council. There is no impact. This is a fiscal impact statement. A fiscal impact statement is designed to say, by signing this contract, what will I have to do to the city budget next year to make these numbers fit? And my answer to you is, an increase of 1.5% to 3% has already been accounted for in the fiscal 20 budget that was passed by this council. There will be no impact next year on that increase. It is already baked in, as it were, and therefore the fiscal impact to the city of that, to the city budget, is zero. To answer your first question about how do we calculate the holiday, I'll give a simple hypothetical. Let's say that one firefighter, when that person works a fire a holiday, that person earns $1,000 for the holiday. And that's not how much they earn for holiday, but hypothetical. We know how much they earn. It's $1,000. So we know by eliminating one holiday, we are saving $1,000. If their pay were 1.5% higher, we would save $1,010 for that firefighter. So the savings would be greater, not lesser. And therefore, when I say that the savings are a minimum of $395,000, it is just that. Because if the pay increase is 1.5%, that means the savings from eliminating one holiday or one sick day or one personal day just got 1.5% higher. And we try to be conservative here and say the minimum we will save over 3 years is $395,000. Now, there are other ways, but I firmly believe this contract will save far more than that. For instance, the change to 24-hour shifts. I'm quite confident that that will save overtime. However, that is extraordinarily difficult to calculate because you're counting on not an actual change in the schedule, but a change in behavior. We believe it will lead to less sick time. I have done research that shows in other communities it does lead to less sick time usage and dramatic decreases in overtime, but we did not put that here. So there are numerous things that I think are additional savings in this contract, but we put the hard numbers here, and we believe this to be a conservative estimate. We will save at least $395,000. But I don't want the council to think that passing this contract, they run the risk of something coming out of the woodwork and we have to increase the budget because we did not account for it. That will not happen. This has all been accounted for in the budget already, and this is what will impact your next budget.
So when you say it's already been accounted for in the budget, has it been accounted for in the amount of 1.5%, 2%, 3%? What was it accounted for?
Since we're still in arbitration, I will answer your question, but I will preface it by saying normally that's a question that gets asked in executive session, because as soon as I tell you how much, tell you how much we've budgeted, the firefighter's attorney is going to write that down, and I'm sure he will bring it up in the arbitration. However, I can assure you that sufficient money was budgeted to cover the range of 1.5% to 3%. And I think I would like to leave it at that, but I would assure you that sufficient money was budgeted to cover the range of 1.5% to 3%.
But right now, we don't know what the number is.
I know exactly what the number
is. You know it is.
I know exactly.
But we're the ones that are voting on it.
Well, it's in the budget very clearly. I could point it out to you.
Okay.
It's very clear in the budget.
I wasn't going to get into that right now, but you brought up the 24-hour shift.
Yes.
We've had our attorney review that as well. I'm sure you've seen the document that was sent out, and that is ambiguous at best, in his opinion. Because of, how do you calculate this? Is it 10 hours? Is it 12 hours? Is it 24 hours? If you have this 24-hour shift and you have a firefighter who is working a 24-hour shift, if he has a day off, is it an 8-hour day off? Is it a 12-hour day off? Is it a 24-hour day off? Because that is not clear, at least to me and to our attorney who has reviewed it. It is not clear.
I'm going to defer to our attorney in a second, but I'll let him expound on the answer, but I will give you a fast answer. What's commonly referred to as a quote-unquote 24-hour shift, if you read the language of the contract, it's actually a 10-hour shift and a 14-hour shift back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back. Today, yeah. They work a 10-hour shift, and then a day or two later, they work a 14-hour shift. And that shift is what is considered a day. It has always been. It will continue to be so. A 10-hour shift and a 14-hour shift is a day. So if you take a sick day today, you call out for your entire 10-hour or your 14-hour shift. That will continue. It is not, and in no way is it called a full 24-hour shift. It is a 10-hour shift followed by a 14-hour shift, meaning you will call out one sick day for 10 hours and another one for 14. But I'm going to turn this over to our attorney who can explain this much more in depth than I can.
Okay. Thank you.
I think Michael explained it perfectly. That's the answer. It's a back-to-back 10 and 14-hour shift. So if a firefighter, if this contract were to be ratified and put in place, and a firefighter wanted to take a 24-hour period off, that firefighter would need to use two sick days.
Mr. Chair.
Sir.
Could we have Mr. Harrington, rather than speak for Mr. Harrington, state what his concerns are?
Sorry, I didn't realize he was here. By all means.